Today's program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Yo, 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 it's Eddie Schumard coming to you live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn with HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You're listening to a special community session. Today we've got Ricky Lee, Orlando food blogger, Tasty Chomps. Ricky, thanks for being on with us.
Yeah, thanks Eddie for having me.
Absolutely. So Ricky, when we, you know, Florida food scene, gets pigeonholed a lot of times, I think, into sort of a particular style of food, or even maybe, you know, thought of as not a culinary hotspot. Give us your thoughts on Orlando. Why should we be looking at Orlando and talking about the food scene there?
Well, yeah, I agree. You know, for years, Orlando's been kind of stereotyped for, well, you know, when people come to Orlando, they know it for one thing and probably for Disney World, right? And all the tourism around it and some of the quality, as we know, of most touristy areas are not so up to par. But lately there's been such a great, almost like a renaissance of like new food restaurants, chef-owned, locally sourced with locally sourced ingredients, you know, and farm-to-table kind of things. Florida, you know, is surrounded by three coasts, you know, so we have great seafood options available and a lot of farmlands too, so it's pretty exciting, you know, lately.
Yeah, so I mean, why do you think in the last, you know, 5 years maybe, the food scene has changed there so rapidly? I mean, I'm a Florida boy myself. I cooked in Tampa, Florida, at the Refinery, and you know, we were definitely kind of pushing the envelope and asking questions when we opened that restaurant because we were really focused on changing the menu all the time and being a bit more progressive than the consumer, you know, kind of chain restaurant gang that kind of runs the crowd down there. Why do you think there was a shift? You know, what was it? The diners? Was it chefs? You know, who kind of made the first move?
Ooh, I think one of the things is the community. You know, there's a strong group of people who here, like, look for, you know, slow food and locavore movement and whatnot. And that has caused, you know, chefs to want to focus on that more, too. And another thing I think is these past few years with, like, the Food Network and all that other, you know, publications out there that have been publicizing more about food, more, I guess, sophisticated food, more people are aware and more able to, like, ask, hey, you know, where's this pork from, or where's this salad, you know, is it, like, organic or whatnot?
So you think it's more like that. People sort of, like, grabbing onto this, you know, the quote-unquote local food movement, and yeah. you think that sort of is what was driving the interest?
Well, I think also the chefs behind it too. You know, some of the chefs actually came from the hospitality industry. For example, the Ravenous Pig, which is a well-known and well-regarded restaurant here in Central Florida. Their owners actually worked at one of the hotels in one of their restaurants before starting their own, and so kind of like grew out of that.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I mean, because there is such a tourist in hotels and Disneyland or Disney World, excuse me, Disneyland's on the other coast. You know, it's interesting. Sort of, it's a different kind of pedigree than you would see in a city like New York or Chicago, where you have a lot of these independently owned restaurants with big name chefs, and you know, you have these kids work their way up into it until they branch out and open their own mom and pop shop. Whereas in Florida, it seems like, yeah, there's a lot more of a movement from corporate and, you know, hotel hospitality restaurants into the independently owned restaurants.
Yeah, yeah. One of the newer places in town, called The Pharmacy. It's a speakeasy kind of place. You kind of like know where the door is because, you know, the door is like kind of hidden. And it's actually founded by a former executive chef for Seasons 52, which is owned by Darden. And yeah, it's great to see that more and more chefs are able to, I guess, be creative and jump outside of the corporate mold. You know, nothing wrong with that, but, you know.
Right, yeah, it's a little bit, you can be a bit more creative. So you've touched on, you know, The Pharmacy, which it's a super cool spot, and there is also the Table Orlando, which is, you sent me over this really great list. Go through some of, like, you know, who are the standouts in Orlando right now? Who's really pushing food forward, you know, both in the kitchen and sort of, you know, outside of the kitchen? And, like, who's the most vocal and who are the personalities in Orlando food scene?
One of the things people don't know about is, like, this past year, 6 out of the 12 chefs nominated for Best Chef of the South were actually came from the Orlando area for the James Beard Award. And those chefs from the Rusty Spoon, Chef Kathleen Blake, who worked at Melissa Kelly's Primo at Marriott, she's one of the standouts as well, and Chef James and Julie Petrakis at the Ravenous Pig, who opened up a new restaurant called Cask and Larder this past year, which is amazing. It's like a southern pub, like a southern pub house kind of feeling, and they got great dishes like lamb rib with green tomato yogurt. It's really good. And other chefs too, like outside of chefs, like there's a new market that's opening up soon called the East End Market, founded by actually members of the Flow Food Orlando chapter, I guess, and they're going to be having little craft cheese, artisan cheese and artisan bread makers there, and just a whole great food products and a little restaurant too inside, focusing on Basque cuisine. Oh, that nice. Region between Spain and Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
And
delicious Spain region.
Yes, and they're going to have like a little kind of like a speakeasy kind of feeling, I guess. It's like little kitchen there, and it's going to be like an event space for food events and whatnot, so it's going to be pretty exciting. So
sounds like Orlando's really digging on this, like, speakeasy supper club, you know, behind closed doors kind of vibe.
A little bit, yeah. It's
a reaction to the overt, you know, craziness of chains and of like sort of like Disney World. It's like a direct reaction to, you know, the in your faceness of Disney.
Yeah, and Orlando's home to the corporate headquarters of Darden Restaurants too, which owns Olive Garden and Red Lobster and all those
the greatest hits of suburban culinary classics. So I want to talk a little bit about you know, Florida in the sense of southern food, because a lot of times, you know, Florida is sort of not, I mean, it's definitely in the South, that's obvious geographically, but sometimes it doesn't feel like it is the South in a way that Mississippi, New Orleans, Georgia, you know, it doesn't have that sort of direct culinary relationship with like fish and grits. But like, so how do you think chefs and how is the food scene, you know, repping the South and being influenced by those sort of classic dishes? And is anybody tapping into like the old Florida South cuisine in Orlando?
I do agree, you know, like especially in South Florida where there's a lot more transplants from, you know, New York and other areas of the U.S. who come to retire, you know, after they're, you know, tired of the cold in the North and stuff. And you know, definitely Central Florida and Florida in general has a lot of transients, people move to and from, and tourism, you know, millions of people come and go every year. But there is, I guess, it's kind of called like, it's not called like cracker culture, like the old school cowboys who were, you know, called crackers, and their kind of cuisine. Mostly like fried fish and fried, you know, gator tail and frog legs and whatnot. And there's not too many of that right now, but one restaurant that I can think of, Crest Restaurant in DeLand, Florida, Chef Hari Pulapaka, who was nominated for James Beard Award past couple years, he's been doing a lot of very interesting local ingredients, like with local Florida fish and heritage pigs and whatnot in the area, and also like corn and different vegetables in the area. That, and it has a slight southern twist to it, and also some Indian twist to it too, because his background is South Asian. So.
Nice.
It's kind of tough. Like I said earlier, the Cats and Larder restaurant from the Ravenspeak folks, they've been doing some like pork belly dishes with oysters and like a po' boy sandwich kind of thing, and has like some New Orleans influences in there too. And
right, sort of that Gulf Coast vibe.
Exactly. And so, then putting their own our own twist into those southern dishes.
You know, you mentioned a couple of times, you know, there's quite a few chefs as of recent that have been nominated for James Beard Awards, whether it be Best Chef or Best Restaurant. Yeah. Do you think that's, you know, sort of driving some of the younger chefs down there to stay in Florida instead of, say, moving to, you know, Charleston or, you know, as far up as New York or out west to San Francisco? You know, do you think the fact that there is some recognition in Florida now on a national and even international level that's keeping some of the talent in Florida in terms of chefs and restaurant owners?
Ooh, well, I don't know too specific about like chefs leaving Florida and whatnot, but I do know that even though we've been nominated, but we haven't won yet in that category in all these years, so hopefully one day they'll win something. But I think so. I think the quality of life and
Is that a conversation that you hear when you're talking to chefs and, you know, when you're in restaurants? Is that, you know, are people talking about, oh, you know, we've been nominated for James Beard now, like we're trying to do that? Or is it less about sort of that and more about trying to just, you know, do the best they can do and hope that maybe...
I really think it is doing the best that they can do, and then if they get nominated, that's a cool add on, you know. And I met quite a few, you know, sous chefs and chef de cuisines, like who work with these executive chefs and whatnot, and they're very passionate, and they seem to put their love in the food, and I don't see them leaving anytime soon. So.
Right. So what are some of the, I know when I was about a year ago, I moved from Tampa, Florida to come up to New York, and there was a couple of like national food trends that were really kind of catching their stride. Food trucks was one of them. There was a really, you know, I really felt like it was kind of finally hitting Central Florida there. What are some of the newer food trends that are going down in Orlando, whether they're sort of borrowed from the national scene or whether they're kind of uniquely Floridian?
Well, hey, you know that cronut craze in New York going on right now?
Yeah, you can't deny the cronut craze. Yeah, it's everywhere.
Well, one of the restaurants here, Cats and Larder, they have a croissant donut, you know. They don't use the word cronut.
Because it's trademarked, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like some fruit glaze in the middle, and it's really good. So that's one thing, I guess, and that's pretty recent, I think.
Yeah, cronuts are, yeah.
Let's see, other trends.
I mean, is the food truck scene still going strong down there?
Yeah, there's quite a few food trucks. Like I just went to one the other day, and there's like thousands of people there, and the community love it, and the food trucks are good. They're coming and going. Summertime, as you know, in Florida, it's kind of hard to do business outside because of the rain.
Right.
You get rained out a lot, but there's some good stuff coming out of there, and actually quite a few started to move from food truck to brick and mortar, like restaurants. So I know a couple food trucks that
Let's say there's sort of another trend, maybe, like, you know, the pop-up trend is you know, kind of cranking away.
One of the local food critics, Scott Joseph, he hosted quite a few successful pop-up restaurants here in Orlando, and they're fun. They're, like, some of them are in like warehouses or I guess like wine factories, or one in an art factory. So kind of fun.
Yeah, sounds fun.
Something new.
Yeah, well, we're going to take a quick break. We were talking to Ricky Lee of Tasty Chumps in Orlando, Florida. We're talking all things Florida food and Orlando food scene. We'll be right back on heritageradionetwork.org.
This is Chris Howell from Cane Vineyard and Winery, calling in from Spring Mountain above the Napa Valley. Thank you for listening to this show. In our industrial world of highly processed food and wine, we support the values of Heritage Radio Network. All of us at Cane encourage you to seek out individuality and beauty in everything you eat and drink. To learn more about us, go to cane5.com.
Hello, and we're back talking to Ricky Lee of the food blog Tasty Chumps in Orlando, Florida. I've got Jack Inslee, our executive producer, during today's show. Jack, you ever been to Orlando?
I have, but for the aforementioned Disney World, unfortunately.
Was it when you were like a small babe?
Yes, it was.
A little baby Jack?
Yeah. And the food there was nothing memorable.
Right. So, Ricky,
even Disney has actually stepped up a little bit the past few years with their food offerings. There's like a little chicken and waffle with arugula sandwich shop at Magic Kingdom. If you know where to find it, it's a little hidden spot, and some little things here and there. But you gotta know which places to go to and which ones to avoid, I guess.
Yeah, I was gonna kind of talk on that. Is Disney World in Epcot and SeaWorld and all those, you know, tourist destinations. There's that awesome Renaissance fair themed restaurant where like Knights of the Round Table situation. Do you know what I'm talking about, Ricky? It's like right there on I-4.
Yeah.
You know, there's all these sort of like crazy big, like, are there places that are within that, you know, crazy town, Orlando, Disney World, that are worth going to, that are really kind of doing fun stuff, or like that have just been around forever that are just like that consistent and that good?
There's quite a few. For example, Flying Fish Cafe, which I went to recently, they have excellent chef's table. They source ingredients locally. Even some of the Disney restaurants, they have their own greenhouse at Epcot, and they like take their like microgreens and stuff from there. And pretty interesting stuff, but yeah, definitely some of the higher end resort restaurants are doing a lot of exciting things.
So, you know, you've mentioned a few times the idea of sourcing locally, and I know that when I was kind of doing some research looking at some of the Orlando restaurants, that's a big part of their rhetoric, for lack of a better word, or part of their branding, is that they source local food and it's the freshest and it's from local farms. Why do you think that's such a big part of the story that they're trying to tell down there?
I think when people send their money, you know, they want to know where it goes to, you know, if they know, like, it goes to the local economy, it's got a bigger impact. You know, studies have shown, $1 spent is, like, seven times greater, you know, if you're doing it locally, whatever. And I think, you know, also, for me, at least it's the taste is a lot better when the food is, fresh and not, you know, chemically processed.
Right.
All these added hormones and stuff.
I mean, do you think, recently we had Wiley Dufresne's WD-50 and Newly Alder on our new Evolutionary series, which is kind of highlights the game changers in the food and beverage and agriculture world. And he made a point to sort of say, talking about ingredients is a little bit disingenuous because as chefs, you know, it's your job to source the best in the fridge. He's like, nobody out there is saying, we've got dirty pans and crappy ingredients, come on down. Nobody's saying that. And, you know, I'm going to paraphrase, but his point was like, don't talk about, you know, the ingredients, but like talk about what you're doing to them, the preparation. So I'm trying to, like, you know, why is Florida you know, why is that such a big part of it? And is it you know, an awareness thing, or is it just trying to jump onto sort of that local food bandwagon in that branding exercise?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's just like for branding, but because like,
I don't either. I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit here, but
right.
Because I know some people do, and I just want to, I kind of want to get your finger, because I know you're tapped into that scene and you talk to these guys on a regular basis and you go out and you actually eat the food. So I'm, you know, just trying to get a little bit of your opinion on that.
I guess like for some of the chefs, they are able to go out to the farms and know the farmer and know the ingredient, and I guess have a deeper connection to the food that way, you know. We have a lot of farms and fisheries just around Florida, you know, for chefs to be able to take advantage of. Luckily, you know, a lot of it actually gets exported out to like New York or California and stuff. But lately, they've been trying to keep more here in town.
No, and I think you're right there. I think it's, you know, making the connection with the farmers is I think a crucially important thing. And I think telling that story and knowing where your food comes from is an important narrative when you're a chef and a restaurant owner. And it's been left out, and I think particularly in Florida, where you have such a one size fits all kind of mentality to cuisine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, some places might get products and they don't have no idea, you know, how was it treated, what chemicals went into it or did not, you know. And so it's pretty important, especially for the health and taste too.
Right. So, you know, like I guess a lot of Florida, Orlando's super spread out and there's a lot of neighborhoods and a lot of driving. What are there, like, specific neighborhoods that are really just, like, killing it right now? Like, you've got to go to this neighborhood because they've got all the hottest restaurants.
There's quite a few. One is Winter Park. Park Avenue is a big area that is really hot with restaurants and whatnot. One of my favorite restaurants is Prado by Chef Brandon McClamory. He actually worked at Per Se and the French Laundry before coming back to Florida. He was born and raised in Naples and moved here with his family and stuff. And the restaurant scene there in Winter Park is very exciting. There's a lot more, I guess, affluent folks, I guess, who can afford to eat out more in that area. So it's nice. You know, it's got a little European feel to it, like brick streets. I don't know if you've been there before.
Yeah, I actually have. My aunt and uncle live in Winter Park, so I've been there many times. It's a beautiful little neighborhood.
Yeah, it's beautiful, little kind of quaint, you know, and it's got great restaurants all along that area, a few blocks. And another area known is called Restaurant Row, which is actually close to Universal Studios and a little bit about an exit or two away from Disney. And it's got a lot of corporate restaurants, but a lot of little hidden gems there too, on Sand Lake Road. And the table and the pharmacy are out there, and a lot of local Indian restaurants in that area too. We have quite a big Indian restaurant scene going on with South Indian and North Indian.
Lots of dosas going down.
Yeah, I love the dosas. Yeah,
you can't not love the dosa.
Yeah, and also Mills and Colonial, which is the traditionally Vietnamese ethnic enclave there. There's a lot of great Vietnamese restaurants, and even a Szechuan place just opened up for the first time in Orlando, and it's great. They have handful noodles and like spicy numbing fried chicken. You know, it's great.
So,
a lot of great things going on.
Well, we're kind of talking about neighborhoods, and I'm gonna talk about Tampa a little bit, because there's sort of this. There's even a sign on I-4, which is the corridor between Tampa and Orlando, where that sign that says Orlampa. It was like this weird marketing attempt to try to like fuse these two cities into one giant sprawled city. Uh-huh. Do you move sort of throughout Central Florida, and do you have any? you know, favorite spots either on the East Coast or the West Coast, you know, when you want to get out of Orlando for like the afternoon or the day, that you kind of like, I'm going to cruise over to Tampa, I'm going to cruise over to Melbourne or whatever. Like, is there, what's the rest of Central Florida looking like for you?
Well, Tampa, I'm friends with Jeff Houck, who is a food critic at the Tampa Tribune.
Yeah, love, and, love me some Jeff Houck.
He's a great guy, and he took me out to a couple places. I think that's where I met you, actually, at the Refinery, and a little bit. And we went to the Taco Bus, and that was a great place. Very fresh.
Yeah, Rene Valenzuela, killing it with the Taco Bus.
Yeah, it's, you know, very authentic, you know, very simple ingredients, but, you know, very flavorful. And it's kind of sad, you know, to say that, you know, there's rare, you know, it's a rare thing to see to have fresh and rare, delicious, delicious tacos.
Yeah.
But that's on the, in Tampa area, on the East Coast. There's a place called Spanish River Grill by Chef Henry Salgado. And he was one of the, I guess, James Beard Award nominees, too. And he has some amazing things that he does with fish and the flavor profiles that he does. So with, like, a Spanish flair. So that's great.
Nice.
Yeah.
We talked earlier about the pharmacy, which is Tyler Brazil and Lauren Falsone's second. That's their bar. They also have the Table Orlando, which is this supper club, single table, you know, five course spot. What is the cocktail culture like in Orlando? Is that something that you guys are seeing? I know when I was leaving Florida, that was definitely really cranking up, and like there were some really good cocktails going down. What's the scene like in Orlando with in terms of booze?
Oh yeah, there's a lot more of experimentation with like different types of cocktails, and the cocktail scene has actually been booming the past like year or two, with like the pharmacy, and there's some speakeasies downtown like Hanson's Shoe Repair. You need a password to get into, and they have all these great drinks.
It's kind of
downtown
a rad
Orlando
name. Hanson's Shoe Repair? Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Hanson's Shoe. I thought it was a shoe repair, too, when I first heard about it. I was like, where is it going? But it's, like, upstairs from another bar, and you got to get a password to get in and stuff like that. And there's some really great drinks going out there. And Orlando Weekly, which is our alternative weekly newspaper here, they have started also with, like, a cocktail recipe of the week kind of thing. And that's kind of helped with all the whole cocktail culture, too. Prado and Luma in Park Avenue, they have a great cocktail menu that they have developed. So, I mean, I'm not too big of a drinker, sadly, because I get really embarrassingly red when I drink, but I have a lot of friends who are huge, huge fans of going out to get some nice cocktails, and it,
I know a lot of really? Our listeners are into cocktails, and I'm certainly into cocktails, so next time I'm down in Florida, I want to make sure I know where to go. So I want to talk a little bit about your blog, Tasty Chomps.
Yep.
When did you start Tasty Chomps?
I started about 5 years ago, right after college. Actually, a civil engineer by day, but a food writer by night, I guess. And just started to kind of like to document my, you know, daily life kind of thing, but then it grew, and later on, actually, I was contacted to write a book called The Food Lover's Guide to Orlando, so that was a great experience.
Yeah, and you know, I'm on the website, your blog right now, and it's like, I love the look of it, and you kind of have, you play around with, like, the way you talk about food. Like, I like this places Anthony Bourdain might like in Orlando.
Yeah.
What, like, how do you, why that? Why, like, you know, why phrase it that way?
That was to kind of honor his visit. He came here a couple of weeks ago for, at the Hard Rock. He had a talk there, and I was like, man, you know, you should come out and eat with us, you know, because, you know, I'm sure I've heard him talk, you know, kind of like
disparagingly
Orlando,
about Orlando.
Like, oh, you know, I don't want to eat that crap in Orlando, whatever, but. You know, it's not true. You know, there's a lot of great stuff here. And here are some of the places that you might not, you know that are here. And there's some, a lot of great local ethnic food, too.
Yeah, I'm looking at like some of the pictures right now. And
they're looking good.
Yeah, and they taste good too.
Yeah, I guess that's even more important. So, you know, what's, like, why keep doing the blog? Like, why, what draws you to write every night? Like, why'd you start? Why do you do it? Why do you keep doing it?
Well,
is it just for the free food and booze when you go out?
No.
I'm kidding.
Well, one of the big things that, I guess, to give a voice, you know, to those little hole-in-the-wall mom-and-pop places that don't have those million-dollar budgets that some of the bigger restaurants have and advertising, you know, just to let people know about it, how like, locally, you know, just around the block, you know, you might have a great, great Vietnamese joint or, you know, or Brazilian joint that you had no idea was there. And kind of like, you know, my own experience, two adventures in it, and I just like doing it because, I don't know, it's kind of boring, you know, going to work and coming home, you know, so might as well do something interesting and whatnot with food, you know, and food is one of our first loves, so don't mind.
I'm into it. So yeah. We're getting close on time, but I got 24 hours. I'm in Orlando one day, full day from like 12 to 12. And I can just like tube technology, beam me up. It doesn't matter where I am. I don't have to get to an airport. 24 hours, breakfast, lunch, dinner, as many snacks as you see necessary. Where do I go?
All right. For breakfast, it's on a Saturday. You head down to the Winter Park Farmers Market and, you know, just walk around there. You know, people watch. There's like people with their dogs out and all these produce. Some not so local, you know, but there's great bakery nearby around the corner called Croissant Gourmet. Pick up a croissant from there, maybe a croque monsieur, like with a ham and cheese with bechamel with egg on top, you know, with the egg, and eat that for breakfast, I guess. And just walk around, you know, the area, you know, enjoy the sights. And then maybe for lunch, you head over to Mills 50 area with, like, you know, the ethnic Vietnamese and whatnot. And there's like a That Sichuan place, funny enough, it's a Chinese restaurant, but I really love it. They've got some really interesting, you know, flavors going on over there, and maybe get a hand-pulled, you know, spicy beef noodle soup over there for lunch.
Okay.
Just walk around that area, too. There's a lot of interesting markets, you know, pick up some durian, I don't know, whatever you like, you know, some I don't know.
Goiza skins, whatever, yeah, yeah. Something.
Yeah, and after that, I would go, like, you know, enjoy, I don't know, like, I probably would go down to, for me, I would go to this restaurant called Sushi Tumi off of John Young and Sand Lake, and it's a great little authentic Japanese place with, like, ramen, like, authentic ramen noodles and curry katsus. It's kind of down home Japanese cooking for that. Or if you want something like, you know, more local Florida, I would go to Prado, even though they have a like Italian twist to their food, but they use like locally sourced ingredients to like fish, like grouper and stuff like that. So it's really good. Whole roasted napper. That's a good one. And have some dessert. Maybe beam over to the Venetian Room by Disney and get one of their Grand Marnier soufflés for dessert and have the waiter pour some crème anglaise in the middle while he serves it. It's really good for dessert. And then that's probably it. Maybe get some cocktails downtown afterwards at, you know, the Courtesy or the Woods or find that password to Hanson's shoe repair. Or even head over to the pharmacy. That's a great place. But it gets packed, too. So try to find the door, the elevator door that they have.
Nice.
And just enjoy the night.
I like it. I'll take that 24 hours. Now I just need to work on, you know, my beaming technology so that I can move around Orlando without having to get in a car.
Yeah.
Ricky, thanks so much for being on. Thanks for being a longtime Heritage Radio Network supporter, friend of the network.
Love what you guys do.
Yeah, well, you know, we're loving on Tasty Chomps, and you know, we'd love to talk to some of these Orlando chefs and give them a voice. So,
yeah.
We've been talking to Ricky Lee on a special community session. This has been your host, Eddie Schumard, coming to you live from Roberta's. We're a nonprofit. Go on that website, push donate, lend us some support. We love you. Take care.
Good night.
Night.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.